The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Darkness falls across the land. The 4 a.m. hour is close at hand. Robbie crawls in search of Margarita, cause he's had too much to stay on his feet. But whoever shall be found, who cannot stand Brian's booming sound, must stand and face the hounds of hell, or rot inside Diabetes' shell. The foulest stench is in the air, the funk that's coming from Joe's chair, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body just can't last, for no more mortal can resist the evils of this podcast. That's right, everyone. It's the 4 a.m. hour. Wait. Once again. Yeah, I was going to do it, but I couldn't stop myself from laughing at how terrible that was.
I don't know. I like it. You went above and beyond on that one, Tony.
A for effort, man.
But that's right. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
And Joe.
Going to give us a name there, Crunchy?
I think I'm pretty good there.
Old Crunchy it is. All right.
Tonight I'm going to party. Like it's episode 99.
Well done. All right, but this is the night he came home. The trick was staying alive. Happy Halloween, everybody. We did Halloween from 1978, directed by John Carpenter, who, of course, we know from Escape from New York, The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, They Live, and so on. Yeah. Well, you want me to do the full list of everything he's done?
No.
I skipped some that we have done, like Escape from L.A., but for good reason. But anyway, what is your personal history with this movie, Brian?
So I saw this as a kid maybe once, maybe twice on regular-ass TV. Like, this was like my least favorite of the, you know, classic, you know, horror movies from like our, you know, childhood, whatever. And I know why now after watching it again today.
The big horror franchises.
Yeah, you know. But I saw a couple times. I remember some scenes with like a couple scenes I remember, but I saw it like once, twice. Yeah.
All right, Rob.
In my mind, I remembered seeing this a couple of times. I thought we had this on like beta or something weird.
I don't remember the beta part, but I believe we did have this.
My strange recollection was that this was like the scariest of, I guess, the big three, Freddy, Jason, and Mike Myers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that...
Sorry.
We'll see.
Sorry.
He's not big, though. He's a little leprechaun. We'll see how that held.
All right, Joe.
So I had only seen one scene of this when I was a child. And it's just a part where Mike Myers is on top of the station wagon and he's smashed through the car window.
Oh, no.
Just his hand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how old I was, but that scared the crap out of me. And I always used to have nightmares about someone doing that to my bedroom window. Okay. I don't know why. But when I watched it now, I don't know why I was so scared.
I kind of had a similar situation where growing up, this was never my favorite for the longest time. I think because it's very slow paced and everything. And when I was younger, I wanted the more action. Then about my teens or so, I started to appreciate this more because of its, you know, the building of tension and the general creepiness of it. It is, in a way, the scariest of them, I would say. But, we'll get into more how I feel about it now in just a little bit. But that's our history with this. So let's get into a brief history of the movie itself. And hint, hint, there will be a lot of hint hints in this. You'll get in a minute. So originally conceived with the title of The Babysitter Murderer, this movie had a very low budget that they were working with. So they decided, even in the writing, they were going to kind of tone it down. So rather than have it be over, you know, multiple days, they do it all in one because it saves on a wardrobe. So they ended up rewriting it a bit and chose Halloween, as it is the scariest day of the year.
Is it?
Supposedly.
Tell that to all the old ladies to get trampled on Black Friday.
Wow. Anyway, most of the clothes worn by the cast was their own clothes, in fact. And even Jamie Lee Curtis's whole outfit throughout this entire movie was bought at JCPenney's for under $100.
I would hope so. I mean, $178 fucking buy you a whole bunch of shit. Like,
this is very true. Okay. So the movie's financier, Mustafa Akkad, I believe. I'm probably saying that wrong. But he decided he was going to fund this movie because, in fact, the max budget that Carpenter was asking for was how much he was paying to do another movie a day. So he was like, well, yeah, for that amount, I'm down.
All right.
Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee were up for the role of playing Loomis, but they turned it down because of the low amount they were being offered. Christopher Lee reportedly has said that was one of the biggest mistakes of his career.
Really?
Hasn't he done okay?
He's done fine. He's done just fine. But, you know. The original movie, when it was first test screened for people, a woman complained because there was almost no music in it, and so she did not find it scary. So John Carpenter composed all the music for this in 3 days.
Okay. Really? Well, the music is what I remember mostly about this movie.
That's actually like the most iconic part of the franchise. Well,
yeah.
Are you telling me it took 3 whole days? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
And we got such amazing music as...
You can mock it all you want, but that shit is memorable as fuck.
Oh, I know, because if you go anywhere that has a Halloween playlist, that's on there 5 times.
Wow. Yeah, there aren't a lot of Halloween songs. Anyway, so...
I mean, there's a lot of Halloween songs. They're just all variations of the Monster Mash.
And the Ghostbusters theme. So, does anyone want to guess at what that mystery budget was?
Look at that.
I'm guessing.
Look at that. Thick ass head.
I can't say anything. I can't say anything right now.
And the podcast has grown.
We're broken. All right. Okay.
Care to explain yourself?
Nope. It's okay. You use your imagination.
I am. have the power of the puma.
Puma man. I'm gonna guess $700,000.
I'm gonna go with $1 million even.
$100,000.
I will give it to Joe. It is $300,000.
Okay.
Wow.
So I was figuring it's like, what would he pay in a day?
That's low, especially in around this time. That was damn low.
And Christopher Lee was kicking himself after that. I could have been making Donald Pleasance money.
Well, anyone want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$19 million.
I'm sticking with 16.
$100,000.
Wow. It was $47 million.
Jesus Christ.
So all month long, we've been fucking off as fuck for these fucking...
Yeah. That was in the U.S. and $70 million worldwide. They made their money back.
Yeah, well... I mean, budget to payoff, that's got to be like one of the highest ratios ever.
Yeah, that's why this is considered one of the most best... Or most lucrative independent films.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
So, yeah, I
bumped on the word.
Horror movies, like, they have a track record of being dirt cheap to make and making a ton of money.
Right.
Which is why they pump them out so fast and so often.
Depends, but
that's why we get a Saw movie every damn year.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Especially these movies are cheap because it's one, maybe two cameras.
Yep.
Like, you have one, maybe two sets.
Mm. Well, yeah, I hesitate to agree to that because, like, certainly the later Freddy movies and Friday the 13th movies get a lot more expensive.
Well, that's they're no longer independent movies. They're big franchises at that point.
I feel like most independent movies like end up being horror kind of movies because they're super easy to cheap to make and whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, and you can like take your profits from the first one, greenlight two or three sequels, and still have a whole bunch of money left over so that no matter what happens, you've already made money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in fact, Mustafa there decided after the success of this one, he would produce every other one that followed, except for the Rob Zombie remakes.
Okay. He draws the line at Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
Well, I think once it was officially, you know, different company, different story, different...
Rob Zombie is like Snoopy, except instead of a dark and stormy night, he starts every one of his scripts with, a family of circus people, ..
I believe it's Hillbillies, thank you.
I've never seen one of his movies.
I think he
just... Or Rockabillies, maybe?
I believe he starts it... No, he ends the first line with, yeah!
There is definitely screaming involved, for sure.
I got some hillbillies. Yeah. All right.
But where'd some of that money go here?
All right. Got yourself some Donald Pleasance as Loomis. Got yourself some Jamie Lee Curtis debuting as Laurie. Nancy Keys as Annie as Nancy Loomis. PJ Souls as Linda. Charles Cyphers as Brackett. Kyle Richards as Lindsay. And Brian Andrews as Tommy. I believe Jamie Lee Curtis was simply paid in a new wardrobe. a new outfit.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
A JCPenney gift certificate.
Yeah, I doubt she kept this afterwards.
One thing I liked in the credits that gives you an indication of the budget, you know where a movie says stunts and list names? It just says stunt.
Stunt.
Yeah. One person.
Yeah, the one. So they just had the one guy. He just did all of it.
He dresses Jamie Lee Curtis and jumped down a flight of stairs.
Probably. Did you get a good look at her when she was going down the stairs?
No,
because it was probably a dude. Is PJ Stoles there? Apparently she snuck into a showing of this movie at one point with her then boyfriend Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
And when
immediately regretted that decision.
When they got to the part of the, you know, you see something you like, the man in front of her yelled out, "Oh hell yeah, I do," which Dennis Quaid offered to kick his ass, but she was like, "No, I'm flattered by this."
Wait. I picture that as he offered to kick the guy's ass to him. Like, excuse me, sir. Can I offer you an ass kicking? No, nothing. Okay. All right. No. I'm just going to sip my
all right.
Beer straw.
Yeah. All right. So this movie.
Yep.
We get the classic jack-o'-lantern, as it says, Halloween.
And... I thought the credits were cool.
Yeah.
Credits are cool. Like, they're setting this up real nice.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, at any minute, this jack-o'-lantern's gonna do some shit and make me jump.
Also, that sandwich was delicious. Thank you, Brian.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Fat chat update for those at home. You take a fudge round, you take a crispy num-num, sandwich it between the fudge round, put it in your face. Good times ensue.
For those of you not familiar with the colloquialism of crispy num-num, it is a Star Crunch cookie.
Hashtag fat chat snack.
They know the drill by now. They know what a zebra dick is.
This message brought to you by Fat Chat.
I can get a soundbite of that, actually. They know the drill. They know what a zebra dick is.
I don't know if we actually have ever once said what a zebra dick actually is.
Well, now we know it has a thick head.
Once we get a website going, that's going to be our downloadable ringtone.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. So, we get this jack-o'-lantern with the hair lip, and then we cut to this couple making out on the couch.
Halloween night, 1963.
All right.
Well, it's a POV camera shot of, like, mm-hmm. someone watching a couple through a window.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They start messing around. They go upstairs. They shut the light off.
2 seconds later.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I didn't hear any of the dialogue here, but I'm like, that guy, he was just like, okay, gotta go. Like, that ended quickly.
I just wanted to, we wanted to see each other with our shirts off, and that's it for the night.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
He was being respectful. She didn't want to go any further. He was like, you know what? I respect that. And he was like, I'm going to head on home and stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm going to brush my hair.
Also, he did not warn her about her little brother running around with a knife that he clearly saw. Because he's like, if you look, he looks right at the camera.
He does.
I missed that. Yeah. I missed it.
Her brother, by the way, who's also like 6 feet tall for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's about, but hey.
Because little kid wasn't holding a camera for real. Like
these are called jokes, Brian.
Oh,
thanks for joining.
You sure? Okay. You sure about that?
Hey, sometimes it's hard to tell sometimes.
So. Yeah, I know. I know I'm not funny, but I try. Right. So, anyway, he goes upstairs to his sister and just starts stabbing a watermelon off screen.
Stabbing a couple watermelons.
Yeah, I didn't get that. So she's just chilling there, just in a pair of panties and just showing off the goods. Yep. And like he just comes by and stabs nowhere near her.
Yeah.
Like not even close. Well, he puts on like a mask, so you have a very limited, like, outside the mask guys field of view. But like it's not even close.
Like you can totally tell that because the camera shows like the knife for a second and then it shows her for a second and then it goes back to the knife going up and down. You can tell, like, she grabbed some red stuff somewhere and just rubbed it on her chest and then like, fell over.
She's going, stabbed her, like, 20 times and she's got, like, a cut.
Not even. It's just, yeah. Just red
stuff.
She's
also just going, no.
Well, yeah, that's the bigger thing. Her sounds are just like, oh, no, stop.
That's okay, why the dude left.
It's been 5 seconds. Go home now.
But that's why the dude left. There's a lot of blood on her, but like no wounds whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, where is that coming from?
No, the cameraman had it in his pocket. So she went in his pocket and rubbed it on her chest. And then I felt like the, was it Patton Oswalt's joke about like, about terrible dying in movies? Just like, ugh, yeah. He fell over.
I'm bang. Dead now.
So, now, my sister is by no means, like, a powerful physical presence, okay. But, like, if I tried when I was 6 to take a knife to my sister, she would have beat my ass.
Yeah, like, she's not playing around.
Yeah, I mean, this woman's, like, twice the size of this kid. I know he kind of has to drop on her, but not really.
Well, I will also throw out here that there might be something in the water, because mm-hmm. most of the people in this movie are real dumb. Just,
yeah.
Just the worst.
And he's freakishly strong.
And yeah.
That might be
Mike Myers himself is a beast.
Well, it is the 70s, and as we've explained, there are only 5 things to do in the 70s.
Okay, then.
Smoking pot being one of those things.
We see that in this movie.
Everybody in this movie is just high as hell. Mm-hmm. So she might have been high. The kid might have been high.
That's why Michael Myers is breathing heavy the whole time. Yep. Tore her up in there.
So she's been smoking a little pot. He's high in PCP. So yeah. He's got that, you know, PCP string.
But
fast forward 15 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a doctor, a guy and a woman and a
Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, headed to a psych place because I guess Mike Myers is up for parole or something like that, or up for evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he wants to make sure that when they go in front of the judge makes sure he stays in where he is because he should not be on the street because he's evil.
Because he killed one girl
when
he was 6.
Yeah, the bigger thing for Loomis is he's been dealing with him since then, and he's like, he's shown no sign of remorse or being a human being whatsoever.
He also hasn't said a single word.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, how he made that decision. It's more like the kid doesn't talk. I don't know, maybe he's done other evil stuff at the psych ward. Who knows?
Well, the bigger thing was the whole, you know, he's looked into his eyes, and all he's seen is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he's killed guards while trying to escape before or something like that. Because what do you know? We pull up to the psych place and we see patients just wandering around,
just lurking
around.
No, honestly, like this was one of the scariest scenes in the movie for me
because
it's only lit by the headlights of the car and it's not very well lit at that. So you just see like this field, these little dots of like. Patients in their like white gowns.
Some Silent Hill type shit.
It's like
if they weren't wearing white gowns, you probably wouldn't see them at all.
Yeah, milling about like zombies, and it's raining, and I'm like, ooh, this is nice.
Yeah, so that's a straight nope.
Right.
We're going somewhere else right now.
Well, yeah, this is where we get a whole bundle of fail because Loomis is like, all right, bring it around to this corner. I gotta go check this out. He gets out of the car.
Which, no. Why? You don't get out of the car. Period.
Yeah, I don't.
She even says, why don't we just go up to the front gate, up to the actual building, and send someone down here to check this out. He's like, just pull over. All right, dude, you get killed.
Well, he doesn't it's get killed.
4 a.m. so early here. So.
Yeah, it is early.
But we see this little skittering monkey child goes climbing up the back of this car.
Little child.
And he's an adult.
Yeah, and he has just a random get on the car sound effect.
Yeah.
Like, they just went through their file of sounds and just whatever played.
Spoiler alert, that's how they did the sounds in this entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Again, this was on the cheap. Whatever was left over from Hanna-Barbera, they just threw in there.
Yeah, it didn't really scare me. It was more like just, what was that sound?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, so this dumb nurse is like, let me roll my window down and poke my head out to look on top of the roof of my car. Idiot.
So, of course, a hand comes down, grabs her, starts, like, trying to choke her out or whatever.
I hope you die.
I mean, the thing is, like, A, obviously a dude climbed up on the top of your car. It was not, like, he wasn't even that quick about it. You could see him in the rear window.
He made a real crazy noise doing
it. Made crazy noise. Also, it's pouring rain. You're not rolling your window down. Period.
You're damn sure rolling it up the moment a guy gets on your car.
Correct.
Remember, yeah. It's the 70s. You had, like, actually manually roll it up, so.
Yeah, but it wasn't even rolled down, was it?
No. She rolled it down. She rolled it down.
I know, but, like.
She rolled it down to check. She shouldn't have done that.
Right. I'm saying, like, she never should have rolled it down in the first place. Yeah. The minute you hear somebody on top of the car.
Press the gas and go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You just back up.
Honestly, here's the other annoying thing about that. You had the easy out of she was chain smoking, like there's no tomorrow. So she could have had the window already down. That would have been a better excuse for this. But
as the 70s, you just chain smoked.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just because.
You hotbox yourself when you see cigarette smoke.
But anyway, she finally gets away from it by jumping over to the passenger side. And that's when the hand just comes down and smashes right through this window.
If you look close, you can see there's a wrench.
He's got a thing in his hand.
Yeah, there's a wrench in his hand. But it's painted to look like the palm of his hand. Like, why bother? He could have just had a wrench. It's okay.
It looked like an alien face hugger.
A little bit. The
window. Have the dude holding a rock, whatever.
Yeah.
Rock would be easy to explain. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he smashes through the window, so she freaks out. She gets out of the car, and he's just like, I got a car now. Bye.
Yeah, fine.
See you later, movie.
And he just drives off.
Yeah, it just cuts away. Apparently, the Donald Pleasance and the nurse just made it home fine, I guess.
Somehow, this guy just knows how to drive.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, I believe we just go back to our lead.
Haddonfield.
Yep.
Was it Indiana? Illinois?
Yes.
One of those.
Haddonfield, yeah, Illinois.
One of them corn states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those nice parts of Illinois where you occasionally find a palm tree for some reason. No one else noticed that?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we see Lori is there with her family. I guess she's leaving the house, and her father asks her to drop off some keys at a house he's trying to sell.
Yeah, which is unimportant, like. Because it never goes back to that
what's
again.
What's important is this establishes a theme in this movie where it's like not birdemic lengths of travel time shown, but it's pretty close. Like they're walking somewhere. You see the whole walk.
Yeah.
This is true. Although this is kind of building to something.
They're short walks, but like you see the whole walk.
But unlike birdemic, there is something of a point to this.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
As she's walking. Yeah. A little kid she babysits, maybe her little brother, I don't know.
No, it's a kid she babysits. Yeah,
some kid she babysits, runs up to her and was like, so, movie tonight, food, pumpkins, date, awesome, cool.
Does the scene matter?
No. But they go to the house, and she drops the key off, but in the window you see Mike Myers, first time you see him with the mask on.
Yeah.
And broad daylight, he comes out of the house as they're walking away to show him. They show him his shoulder with her walking for like a good 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's supposed to be creepy, but it just comes across as silly. Because you pick, like, this dude is wearing this mask. He's just standing out in the middle of broad daylight on the sidewalk, just watching this girl walk away.
You guys know who that mask is.
It's William Shatner.
Yeah, it's spray painted Shatner mask.
They almost used a Spock one, too. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, apparently William Shatner went trick or treating with his kids wearing one of these one time.
Nice.
That's all.
Now, if he And he painted his own face white underneath it and then just like took the mask off.
That's fucking bizarre.
I think the movie would have been better if every time he made a kill, it went.
No, but like, I'm totally okay with the parts where it's just like, you know, you see him creepily standing there over his shoulder or whatever. He's staring at her for several minutes as she walks away. It's when he's like poking his head out in front of her and like comically just whoop away into the bush.
But then that's like the next 15 to 20 minutes of this movie.
Yes.
Is him just, he's like the Burger King. He's just popping out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You just see him. He's like, whoop.
That's why those commercials were so creepy. Because it reminds me of this. Like, okay.
Also in this scene, if you pay attention, you can see the smoke from John Carpenter was smoking a big cigarette.
Okay.
Side note, but
you get a scene where the doctor like drives up to some cop to talk to him, and he parks right in the handicap space like an ass. And just goes in, and they're like, he couldn't have stole your car. He doesn't know how to drive because he's been in institutions since he was a kid. And he's like, I don't know. He was doing okay last night.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. Well, tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get like five more scenes where Mike Myers is stalking. Yeah. What's her face? Once at her school.
He's in the bushes. He's in the clothesline.
Yeah, he's in the clothesline.
We see her friends. One is the Totally Girl. That's J.P. Stoles, who is...
It doesn't matter. Dead Meat 3.
Well, like, it doesn't help that there's a Linda and a Lindsay.
Yes. And a Lori.
And a Lori. And the only one that's easy to tell apart is Annie.
Right. And the only dialogue in this whole movie is just... either people after the boogeyman or people planting hookups. That's like all the dialogue.
Well, it's like a Teen Girl Squad episode where like Annie's like, I have a crush on every boy. And Michael Myers is just like, Myers.
I want to be that boy. And then she's lets like, her up and torso takes silver.
But it's Lori's the ugly one.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear that, you know, she doesn't get dates. She's a bookworm, yada, yada, whatever.
Back in the day where a girl being smart was a huge turnoff.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Well, yeah, this is around the time where putting glasses on you made you a nerd automatically, whatever.
It's like, no, I just need corrective vision.
Taking them off would surprisingly make you beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Like, well, I never knew you were so hot under those glasses.
Who knew Rachel Lee Cook could be attractive? Fuck those glasses. Anyway,
that shit works for Superman.
It does. The lengths they've gone through to like explain that away.
But it didn't I'm work vibrating. For me. So anyway, it's Halloween night now. She's going to babysit Tommy. Her friend Annie is going to babysit Lindsay.
Here's the plan. So Lori's babysitting Tommy. Lindsay is babysitting. No, sorry. Annie's babysitting Lindsay.
Yep.
The other girl is babysitting the other girl's trying to get her boyfriend to go over to Annie's place.
Yep.
So she could do her boyfriend while Annie's watching the kid downstairs. Yep. Like, this is all kinds of just messed up. Like,
oh, because Annie's parents are
Are gone, yeah. Like, it's just all kinds of messed up. Mm-hmm. Annie's like, all right, like, sure.
Well, and then Annie's got her own side plan of she's going to drop Lindsay off and then go get her boy, and they're going to fuck, too.
I was like, there's a drop line, a joke, quote unquote, where the guy's like, yeah, I got it. Rip your clothes off. You rip my clothes off. Then I rip Annie's clothes off. And I'm like, you're really trying to angle that three-way, aren't you? This is not a joke. Like, you're just waiting. You're testing the waters to see how she feels, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. Anyway, so they're off. They're all in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
There's babysitting's happening.
We see at also the doctor found a truck that Mike Myers attacked and ditched his hospital gown.
Right.
And he doesn't see it, but we see there's a dead body in the bushes, like the truck driver he killed to get the jumpsuit.
Yep. Oh, we also see for some reason Annie and Lori pull over to where her dad is at a bank robbery.
It's a hardware store.
Hardware store. Even they though stole they were a mask. Smoking pot.
They stole a mask, some rope. And
a couple of knives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, it must have been some kids. I'm like, really?
It's the 70s.
I mean, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I bought those items, I'd be put on a watch list. Are you kidding me?
Only five things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in the 70s, a kid could walk in a store with a rifle and be like, give me a box of 308s.
That's fair.
And I'm going to go to the cigarette vending machine and just get a pack of those.
No, but Tony was saying, like, this whole time we're watching, we're in the car with Annie and Lori, and they're smoking pot. Mm-hmm. And Annie goes, oh, shit, my dad. Hold on, he's going to see it. Then they go pull over next to him for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
There was no fucking reason for them to even go near him.
Keep driving.
Also, there's no way you're getting that smell out of the car that quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, like, it was just to be able to tell us that someone stole a mask and, you know, to explain why Mike Myers has his mask on. Because we've already seen it, but now we know why he has a jumpsuit and why he has a mask.
You know what was important about that scene, though? Don't Fear the Reaper was playing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's more cowbell, right?
I mean, yeah. You couldn't really hear the cowbell too well.
That's why I need more of it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe that's what Mike Myers wants. He has a fever and only hears more cowbell.
Is that what it is?
He was following them in his car at this scene.
Now I'm just picturing he's like lurking in the bushes and he pops out and he's just got the cowbell like, dook, dook, dook.
He might as well have.
Someone should re-edit this, but with Will Ferrell with the cowbell. Bumping people around.
Yeah, like, what is it, Tommy? I've seen the boogeyman. You just look outside, it's Will Ferrell with the cowbell.
He's playing to the theme like,
except Jimmy Fallon would be playing Mike Myers, just staring at everything all the time.
He'd be laughing the whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. He literally just follows them around until night falls. He's driving behind this car in his station wagon.
It's like 40 minutes of this. Yeah. Like, no joke.
Yeah, a whole lot of setup for not much payoff. I mean, ultimately,
I don't know. These girls are pretty clueless. Like, if somebody turns down the same street I do, I'm like, "What's this person doing in the rearview mirror?" Like,
sorry, did a bulb just go out?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Oh,
just get darker in here.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's.
Holy fuck!
Okay. So.
The screensaver turned on his laptop, so it got darker where he was.
That's all wrong. All right.
Someone take his straw away.
So we go to the Sheriff Brackett and Dr. Loomis here go to Mike Myers' house.
My favorite Harry Potter character.
Yep. And they find some sort of dead thing that we never see.
He says it's a dead dog. Yeah, okay. But we never see it.
Well, because then the guy's like, well, maybe a skunk brought it in here.
Skunks don't eat dogs.
Yeah.
A skunk might kill a dog. That is a thing. A skunk might kill a dog.
Would it?
Potentially. If it's...
spray it and run away.
Well,
probably.
To be honest, a skunk spray can kill a dog. If it gets it enough.
Yeah.
Like point blank range.
Plus, like, a skunk is like any other animal. If it's like cornered or you're like too close to its babies, it's gonna fuck you up. It's gonna do its best to fuck you up. Mm-hmm. That's just what happens. But the bigger thing is, yeah, we get a comment about he got hungry. So apparently, some of this dog has been gnawed on or something, which I think that would be pretty clear if that was man or animal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care how animal this man might be. Like,
well, how manimal is he?
And he ripped off a chicken
maximum
leg.
Maximum animal.
Now,
took a big bite out of it.
Is he a man or is he a Muppet?
Manamana.
And if he's a man, is he a Muppet of a man?
Manamana.
And if he's a Muppet, is he a very manly Muppet?
Manamana.
He might be Sweetums, so I don't know what you want to classify that as.
I'm Sweetums.
No, you're not.
There's nothing to talk about in this film.
No,
like, honestly.
Like, yeah. Like, so... Well,
We can talk about Annie is deficient.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's a safe word to use here.
Is it?
I mean, I have things I wrote down to talk about, but none of them are important. Like, I want to point out this Tommy here has some stupid ass comics. He's got Laser Man, Tarantula Man. There was like a Nuclear Man or something like that, or
I believe so.
We don't want to have to pay for licensing any stuff that we mentioned in this. So
it's like, does anybody know anything about superheroes? No,
they were actually Howard the Duck comics, which just they're making up names. Mm-hmm. But we can't say Spider Man, so Tarantula Man it is.
Because tarantulas are bigger than spiders, which makes them better.
Sure.
Oh yeah, there was one other scene at the whatchamacallit, at the Myers house, where the doctor's like, I'm just going to wait here for him.
Just dumb people.
Sheriff's like, all right, I'm going to go.
You want some Pez or something? Keep you busy.
Well, like, in the sheriff's defense, right, nothing has happened. No one's been killed.
Oh, yeah.
Someone stole a mask, a knife, and a rope.
He entered that house without a warrant.
Yeah.
But or probable cause.
It's the 70s. Like, it's neighborhood policing. That's whatever. Bullshit, whatever.
No one lived there, so I guess.
It was a condemned house. Yeah.
Oh. You spooked this old bald guy. That's probable cause.
But nothing's happened. Right. So, and they didn't put out an official, like, APB for Mike Myers, because they don't even know if he's going to show up. So, like, he's like, when something happens, let me know. Like,
yeah.
I'll do my best, like, looking around, but I'm not going to send my deputies looking for a person in a mask on Halloween. Like,
that happens in the second one, and a kid gets killed. Yeah, poor Ben Tramer. As far as the sheriff is concerned, it's like, you have a theory this guy that escaped the mental institution is coming here. I know someone robbed the store and it's Halloween night. I got shit to do. I'll see you later. Call me if something actually happens.
And there's no way those two things are connected.
You're trespassing.
But like, in all fairness, like, no one locks shit in this neighborhood.
That's true.
Like, nothing's locked.
Until they get inside.
No, that's
and
dumb.
Then they can't get out.
Annie's dumb as fuck. That's what Annie's the dumbest person on the planet.
So I guess we should get to that now.
So Annie is babysitting for this little girl when all of a sudden she spills something on her, which means it's time to get naked.
Yeah. And Mike Myers happens to see this. Now, he's outside watching because he watches everything.
Mm-hmm. But
I think his thing is,
you watch with your eyes.
He can't stand flesh. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. He can't stand seeing naked bodies or just flesh. Because, like, he kills his sister because he sees her naked, right? He kills the guy gets jumpsuit from.
Mm-hmm.
We only see him naked, so I'm assuming maybe the guy's pissing and whatever. I don't know. Whatever. That's my one eyeball.
You gotta take the whole thing off.
Yeah, it's my one eyeball. Yeah. It's a romper. So whatever.
Or no, he had to take a dump. Yeah, the whole thing had to come off.
Whatever. So he's dead. He sees Annie take her shirt off, like, just off.
And, she gotta
and,
go.
Like, what did she spill? Her shirt off and her pants off. Like, what did she spill?
Her button-up shirt. Her, like, t-shirt and her pants. What the hell was that? But,
only people who die in this movie have been naked in this movie.
She's just like, well, you know, I found a shirt in the kitchen because whatever. I don't know. But now I'm going to go out back to the laundry shed because that's a thing, apparently.
It's probably in the garage.
It's like impractical as fuck. Like, you got to carry your laundry all the way across the yard.
I'm not sure what's happening here, but she manages to lock herself into this place. She then tries to get out through the window and gets herself stuck.
Well, I would say Mike Myers locked her in there, but how do you even do that?
Yeah,
no, that was not.
And the camera doesn't leave you angles to wonder if someone opened or closed the door. Like, it shows the whole door and the window door, so you see no one touched it. It just closed. Mm-hmm. Like, so you can't think, oh, Mike Myers did it, because he was nowhere near to do it. Like,
I think the best case scenario we could say is Mike Myers set the lock so when it shut, it locked. But that's a stretch.
But even then, the lock is on the inside of the door. They show it because
it was just inside.
In a few minutes, the little girl comes up to the door, just opens it, and you see the lock is on the inside of the door.
This whole thing is basically like Lindsay's parents set a have a heart trap for the babysitter. Like, she can go in but can't get back out.
Yeah.
But all this time, like, Mike Myers, he's like watching through all the windows of the shed and shit like that. So you know he's around. Yeah. You know, it's kind of built some kind of weird.
Do I even want to kill this girl?
Yeah, I was saying, I think that's why he's been so inactive at this point. He's just like, she's just going to kill herself. I'm just going to watch and see what happens.
We're going to wait it out.
The one harsh thing, though, in this movie is the dog is freaking out, barking like crazy.
Yeah.
Come, and what's that?
That scene is weird as fuck, because she's on the phone with Lori. Yeah. She's staring at the camera. Which you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, she's looking at the camera. The dog is looking, like, at the camera. But clearly, there's no window to outside mm-hmm. where the camera should be.
Well, no, there is, because that's what Mike Myers is looking in through. So it makes sense for the dog to be looking that way and barking, but what the hell she's looking at, I couldn't tell you.
Because, like, the room that they're in is not, because when they turn around, the up behind them is the room where the girl is in, little girl is in, and Lindsay's is in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the window he's looking at, because the window, well, the window he's supposed to be looking in is to her right.
No, when she's looking forward, to her right is the room with the little girl. Forward, like I said, is the window that he's looking in, and then behind her is like the refrigerator or whatever, where she finds the shirt next to it. And then to the left is out towards the laundry shed.
Back and to the left.
Yes.
Bottom line, the scene doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So the dog, finally she just lets the dog out because she's tired of hearing it bark. And it's like, oh, hey, Mike Myers.
Yeah.
I'm going to growl at you.
Hey, what do you do?
Close. Mike Myers is like, I don't give a damn about no German Shepherd. And he does a thing to it. You yeah. only see the legs, but the dog makes an unhappy noise.
They hug it out, bitch.
It's, yeah.
It's also a little awkward because it follows immediately after a line about, like, you can find a date or something like that. And then we cut to Mike Myers and this dog, and I'm like, what are you implying?
Yeah, Lester lost the hugging contest.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to imply that, like, the dog found something hump outside. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And it did. It died happy.
Mm.
I don't think that's true, but sure.
So they're watching the, Lori and Tommy are watching the original thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm like, we could all be watching the thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not this.
And John Carpenter's doing research. Mm-hmm. What?
I guess he's making us watch while he does research.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of nothing going on. This is when Lindsay gets stuck in the laundry.
Oh, yeah. Paul calls to say, come get me so we can, you know, I can get out of my house. Come get me so we can screw. So she's like, I'm going to drop Lindsay off at Lori's house, and then I'll come pick you up. So she walks Lindsay over to the house, goes to get in her car, has no keys. The door's locked.
Has no pants.
Has no keys. Has no pants on. Goes back into the house, grab the keys, come back out. The door's unlocked all of a sudden. Doesn't put the key in. Like, she's just, the thing is, just, it's just dumb. She's just dumb. It's
which, again, it's kind of funny because in the context of the movie, I could totally write that off as because Mike Myers found a way to unlock it. But, like, why she doesn't question that, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Other than she's dumb.
So she gets in the car, and sure enough, Mike Myers in the back seat. He starts choking her and kills her. Yeah.
And she has...
I mean, I don't know if he kills her, but she does her very best Three Stooges impression the whole time she's
she
in
makes
there.
The goofiest death face.
Yeah.
She turns into a Muppet here.
Yeah, you don't really make a dignified face when you die, but that was a bad expression.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yep.
I think one eye closed, the other eye rolled back. And just...
He, like, lazily chokes her out with one so hand. Lazy. And, like, she didn't try.
And the scene lasts too long.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
every scene lasts too long. By this point, we've seen a good 15 minutes of the original thing.
Legit.
Like, how much hardcore would it have been if he, like, choked her for maybe a few seconds? And she struggled a little bit, and he just one hand snapped her neck. You'd be like, okay, this guy's no joke.
Yeah,
or stab her through the back of the seat with the knife.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm not sure where we're coming from with this, because at this point, I'm like, all right, you know, he's a normal dude. He's, you know, he's big, he's strong, but, like, he's just a guy, so it takes him a while to choke him out. But then later on, he's lifting people with one hand, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you lost the credibility.
You could tell that their budget was super small on the on the effects, because no effect shows actual stabbing. Like, they probably couldn't figure out how to do it for the money they had to work with. So
Yeah.
They didn't have that little folding knife, so.
There really aren't any effects at all in this movie.
Nope.
Not much.
There is stunt.
There is a stunt. That is true. Technically, like, one and a half stunt.
So anyway, Tommy's freaking out about the boogeyman, but Lori doesn't believe him, even though she's been seeing it all day as well.
Like, all damn day.
Yeah, that is the worst. Like, he's like, I saw the boogeyman. She's like, okay, even though I've been seeing this dude follow me around a creepy mask all day long, I'm going to say no.
I would have at least been like, hey, Tommy, what does he look like?
Yeah.
Well, she eventually does. Which his excuse is he looked like a man, so she's like, "Well, fuck you, Tommy." Yeah. Well, that gives me nothing.
But he's a kid. Be like, "Hey, draw me a picture."
Or I would have at least been like, was he wearing a white mask?
Yeah, and a jumpsuit. Yeah. Was he wearing a jumpsuit with a white face?
Yeah, what does his face look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Did it look like William Shatner?
Captain Kurt.
Or did it look like Donald Pleasance, who was just circling the neighborhood in his trench coat with his hands in his front pocket?
Well, at this point, he's standing outside the Myers house when the three bullies walk up to it. And he's just like, get away from there, you asshole.
Yeah. Get your ass away from that house. Like, what the hell are you doing, you creepy weirdo?
The thing is, like, he didn't just like jump out and chase him away. Mm-hmm. He's hiding in the bushes, watching to see what happens to these kids.
And I like how earlier on, like when a gutter fell and broke a window in the Myers house, he damn near shot it. Sheriff Brackett's like, yeah, I'm gonna jump scare this dude.
Yeah, the sheriff comes up and just taps him on the back of the shoulder. Yeah. It would have been a bang, 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 bang.
You know, it's Halloween. Everyone's entitled to one good scare.
I guess.
That's the sheriff's, like, line. Yeah. He does that all day to everybody.
Yeah, it's Halloween. It's okay to scare you.
So, yeah, when Annie's, like, choking to death in the car, he's sitting on the hood like, nah, it's Halloween. Everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Later on, when the police are called in because they just shot Michael Myers out the window, like he comes in, just like pops around the corner at Laura and just, rah! It's Halloween. Everybody's in town with one good scare. Oh, you're traumatized? I'm sorry.
So now we meet Bob and,
yeah.
And
Bang Fest 78 is now underway.
Bob and Linda, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Annie's house, which
they
is
just walk in. Doors unlocked because no one locks shit. In the
they make this like half-assed 2-second search. They didn't even get through the entirety of the first floor. Like, fuck it, we're doing it.
They went to one room.
Yeah.
Anyone here? Anyone?
Yeah. Okay, for that matter, there is a massive man in a white mask standing like 5 feet away from them when they're like getting busy on the couch. Mm-hmm. Nope, didn't see that. Doesn't count. But he just likes to watch.
Mm-hmm. So they somehow, Lori calls them or something like that, trying to find Annie. They're like, oh, she's not here. We figured she'd be with you. Okay, she's missing. Whatever, we're going to go fuck.
Yeah. I haven't heard from her. That means we got the place to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob's like, leave the phone off the hook. She's like, isn't that dangerous? He's like, no, it's hump at about the speed of a field mouse. Because he just gets on top of her and he's like, like he's done, like immediately. They could have even cut somewhere and then come back and they're like smoking cigarettes in bed or something.
I learned this trick from Tommy Wiseau. Where your belly button at?
I will say, to be fair, he had already started, so he just had to finish at this point. Maybe it's just the last few minutes.
He got a good minute and a half to recoup while the phone rang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the most surprising thing about all this is how satisfied she seems to be with the situation.
She's just glad it's over.
Yeah.
Could be.
That was great. That was exceptional.
So get me a beer.
Yeah, she orders Bobby get her a beer. So off he goes to get a beer.
While she was going to finish herself off while he's downstairs.
Oh. But Bobby, of course, gets confronted by Mike Myers, who just kind of grabs him by the neck, holds him up against the wall, and stabs him.
Like, I could see if in the time when this came out, like, if I was alive at that time when this came out, like, not having other examples of, like, scary shit, only having, like, Alfred Hitchcock to go by, that kind of stuff, there'd be some suspense and some tense shit happening. Because the music's playing, which is creepy, and, like, you know, door closes on its own, and, like, he's scared, so you can tell something's up. But watching this today, I'm like, this is, But the Mike pops out, grabs him by his throat, picks him up off the ground, and he stabs his knife forward, and then it cuts away, and the knife is somewhere, like, lower where he would have stabbed anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, he stabbed, like in his chest, but when he backs off, it's, like, in his gut. Mm-hmm. He's hanging onto the door, but by the knife wound and stuff.
That's about as good as it gets with the killing in this.
Yeah.
Well, like at this point, Mike Myers even looks at that like he's surprised it worked that way. Mm-hmm. Like he kind of tilts his head like, oh, one knife is enough to hold him up. Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it? Mm.
I did like the ghost costume scene though.
Really? Did you?
I liked the beginning of it.
Oh, you didn't like the other 25 minutes where he's just standing there literally not saying or doing anything?
Yeah. It was set up well.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was great. And it starts off and you're like, oh man, I remember this scene from, you know, Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. All I was thinking is I remember the scene from Beetlejuice. Like, mom's going to be pissed. You've got holes in the sheets.
Either way. But it's like, dude's just standing there and she's talking to him, but not like talking to him. She's just saying the same lines over and over again.
Like, looking at John Carpenter like, is this going to go anywhere?
Yeah. And we're literally just sitting there for like 5 minutes and I'm just looking around and I'm just like.
It's like Family Guy. The jokes that last a little bit right. too long. It's just it's like this.
Well, the funny thing is like. This is clearly intentional because there's another point where Donald Pleasance makes a comment about he knows he's evil because this guy is just this kid, whoever, for the past several years has just been staring off into the middle distance, like planning for this night. And he says something about how it's like unhumanly patient or something to that effect. I'm like, that's what this whole movie is, just seeing how patient Mike Myers can be to kill people. That's not cool.
I want to see the scene where he's sitting downstairs, cutting those holes and making his ghost costume, like, you know, humming 99 Red Balloons or whatever he was doing down there. And he puts it on and then he goes upstairs. And then, you know, that should be like, as far as I'm concerned, that's like the intermission of the movie. Like he's standing there. It's time to go make a sandwich. Because by the time you get back, he might actually be doing something.
And when he is doing something, it's another awful, horrible death scene.
Oh, so dumb.
He drapes a phone over her a few times.
And Linda calls Lori at one point to ask about something. And as Lori picks the phone up, Mike Myers starts choking her with the phone cord. But like, you can see the slacker on her neck from the phone cord. So you're like, he's not doing shit. Mm. But she's going,
She's just like, are you okay?
Can that follow the sound point about the zebra dick?
She's making like rhesus monkey sex noises.
It's like, it's terrible.
It's so awful. And so I guess he chokes her out. She's making better
noises now than she was in bed a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, it's probably the most fun she's had all night. But like, I guess she's dead. And now,
well, the doctor finds the station wagon, so he's like, oh, I better go looking around this neighborhood.
You mean the station wagon that's passed him like 5 times so far and he hasn't paid attention?
That is something that I don't get, because like, he knows the car, he knows where it's from, knows license plate.
Say, it's his car.
Can you at least put out a search for my stolen car in this neighborhood? Like, at least
have your deputies look for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now here's what I don't get. So Lori's like, all right, I'm going over there. She heads over there. She goes and looks around the house. Everything seems fine. He goes in the kitchen where Bob was just stabbed through his chest and he's like pinned to the door.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, Bob's not there. He cleaned up all the blood from that, which admittedly wasn't very much, but real life, that should have been a freaking bloodbath.
Correct.
And there should be a big ass goddamn hole in the door too.
Yeah. Yep.
To be fair, we kind of let slide the whole, was in Friday the 13th when someone got an axe in the head and they just kind of vanished.
At least that was in the showers.
Yeah, that was in like a separate outbuilding, I guess. Like, but
at least it was somewhere with water and a drink.
And time passed. Like in this one, we clearly saw he was too busy just staring at Linda for like 20 minutes.
Well, maybe
and he had to make a ghost costume.
Maybe he was distracting her because he has elves downstairs cleaning up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe he's like. Maybe he's like Doctor Strange. Maybe he can like astral project himself and clean up the blood and stuff.
That's why it took so long for him to actually get up there to choke her. Like,
right, yeah.
Because in the doorway, it was just his body.
Yeah, it was just his body.
He's downstairs cleaning. All right, so then she goes upstairs for like the big scary reveal. Goes in the door to the bedroom and Annie's body on the bed with his sister's tombstone.
Yeah.
Why? Stole earlier.
Because that's a thing for him.
But here's the, okay. So we've all just assumed that he like hates skin or boobs or whatever. Which, if he hated boobs, it shouldn't be an issue because his sister had way bigger boobs than all these other girls. Mm-hmm. But like, it doesn't actually say what his motivation is. Like Donald Pleasance keeps saying that he's evil. He's evil. But like, there's no connection between these people.
Yeah, it's always in the vaguest of terms, too.
Right. It's like, why? So he's evil. Why would he pull up his sister's tombstone? Why would he make a big, like, thing out of it.
Well, here's the thing. Two things with that. One, from what I know, I think the idea is more the basically shitty babysitters. Because the whole thing was like his sister was supposed to take him out trick-or-treating in the beginning, and that's why he killed her when she decided to fuck around instead.
Just remember.
I know it's not in the movie. Okay. I totally understand. I'm all getting right. to that. And that's possibly why he starts going after some of these others. But yeah, I think the bigger thing here is this is, though early on and maybe not as well conceived, this is John Carpenter doing his, you don't need to know, that's part of the thing with this. It's just
he hadn't figured that part of his...
But like, so yeah, with John Carpenter... Yeah. Even though it's like, you don't need to know, there was still a point to things. This is just like, this guy's just killing girls. Mm-hmm. And there's so much time in between everything that doesn't explain anything. And it's not entertaining. So what are we doing here, John?
Yeah, that's a big difference. Because in later movies, he'll be like, you don't need to worry about this. Oh, by the way, here's something cool.
Yeah, it's like... Like, Big Trouble in Little China, yeah. Like, they didn't have to tell you everything, but you knew, like, it was about this green-eyed girl, whatever, you know, they're going after that,
mm-hmm.
And, oh, it's just gonna be a wacky adventure. This is just like, we're just waiting for something to happen, and we don't know why it's gonna happen. Even in Friday the 13th, we knew that, like, you know, the Voorhees family was all up in arms because these kids were banging while Jason was drowning in the lake.
You didn't know that till the end, but...
But we knew that because the end told us. Yeah. Like,
but see, that's one I do argue. Like, you want to say what you could say whatever about the like how slow paced it is, and I can't argue with that. But I think there's something that works to the idea of just he's that much creepier because you don't know why he's doing this. He's mm-hmm. just crazy. He's because the whole idea is he has no emotions. He's just killing without reason or cause or motivation. He's just crazy. He is evil.
Yeah, but at the same time, like. I don't have any attachment to the people he's going after.
Well, that's a bigger issue. Yeah, that's and a totally different thing.
Donald Pleasance is not an interesting character, and Jamie Lee Curtis is not really interesting. So I'm just, and she sucks as a foil for him. And so I'm just like, what am I here for?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we get a point now where Laurie is, I guess she goes over to the stairs. Mike Myers lurks up behind her, stabs at her with the knife. It gives her the gentlest of grazings with it.
Yeah. Joe, that was a $100 JCPenney blouse.
Yeah, which he cut that to hell.
It doesn't even cut her. She doesn't bleed at all. Yeah. Like, no...
there's a little bit of ketchup on her.
Oh, was there? Yeah, okay, there I didn't is. See it.
They and had he to... throws her over the fucking staircase.
They had to tear it. They had to tear it at the seam so they could re-sit stitch it and return it later.
Maybe that was really maybe the knife was just not sharpened at all, and it just straight up ripped the seam.
Like, I will say this. Actually, I'll save it.
No, we might be onto something here. Judging by the opening scene where he kills his sister, and like mm-hmm. some of these other scenes, he's not very good at killing people. Like, he missed his sister completely when he was stabbing at her. He missed Lori here when he's stabbing at her.
Or he wasn't trying to kill her. He's like, I got to rip your shirt off before I can kill you.
Yeah.
Those are the rules.
Or, that's why I couldn't kill her, because she wasn't naked at all the entire movie.
Or he just has no depth perception in that mask.
Also true. So, to Linda's, I mean, Lori's credit, she takes this falling down the flight of stairs like a champion.
Oh, yeah, she does.
I'm curious how, you know, putting a knife against her shoulder would cause her to do a backflip over the banister.
I bet she was wondering that, too.
She just freaked out. And, like, she's a little on the taller side, and the railing was a little on the lower side. And like
I'm going to go ahead and take your word for it.
Off balance. I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead.
I let it go. Like, oh, she was scared. Like, oh.
It happened quickly, so I'm not sure. But I would imagine that was I'm spinning around to see what this is and didn't pay attention to the fact that I'm taking half a step back to where there's a banister. And then just,
okay.
Whoop. And you have to remind yourself that she's freaking out, because this scene with the glass door is pretty damn sad. She runs up to it. It's held closed by a rake,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I sit here, I'm just like, break the damn glass.
Yep.
And which she finally does, but it takes a while.
Or just push a little harder, because those doors are the flimsiest pieces of crap.
Even if the rake doesn't give, that door will give.
Oh yeah.
Or just push on it enough, the glass will break, because the frame will warp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This again, I'm trying to give more credit for the freaking out aspect, because like. My only thought was maybe she was trying not to have to break the glass because she didn't want to hurt her hand. But it's like, use your feet. You've got shoes.
Once he punches through the door into the kitchen, she goes, fuck it, I'll break the glass. Yeah. He finally does it.
So we get a, she briskly walks home and he strolls after her.
Not even.
Yeah.
I think he like made a scene. You know, he cleaned up the glass first.
Yeah.
Because he's OCD about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Then he walked across the street to catch her. But she's like, she's screaming, "Someone help me! Someone help me!" Not like call the police. "Someone help me!"
Yeah, girls next neighbors door. Are just like, whatever. I don't know what's going on here.
I mean, all right.
Shitty ass neighbors. Like that's
fucked up. Halloween night though.
Like, no, but like they know who the fuck she is. Yeah. She lives in the fucking neighborhood. Like they know.
At least look out the window.
They know it's Laurie.
She's there like every night babysitting. Yeah. She's always like wearing this super conservative clothing. Mm-hmm. She's not a troublemaker. She's probably get straight A's, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs, mm-hmm. "Bloody murder!"
Not even that. Someone's on your lawn screaming, and I get it's Halloween, you think it's kids fucking around, whatever, but call the police. Because worst case scenario, this is just, you know, miscreant kids causing trouble. Like, they're there to deal with the noise complaint. Best case scenario, you just saved a rape or a murder. Call the police.
Yeah. Call the police.
Yeah.
Even if you don't open the door, call the police. Anyway.
So, this just gets sadder and sadder. So she goes in the house. Mike Myers comes after her. She has a crochet needle.
That's what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jabs that in his neck.
Well, it was a knitting needle. I think she was knitting.
Knitting needle. Okay.
Yeah, it's splitting hairs at this point.
Mm. Well, it does kind of make a difference because one is sharp, the other kind
of. Yeah, one of them is significantly more sturdy than the other.
Anyway. But yeah, she's just like, all right, I'm done here. I've killed him. I'm good.
Well, okay. Let's dial back just a second.
Yeah, there's some details.
She gets this guy in the neck with this knitting needle. He drops like a brick.
Just funny as fuck.
Like it's so silly.
Like in a martial arts movie when you like key strike a guy in his pressure point and he just locks up.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Like yeah. I felt like he really got like stabbed and just or really got hit. And just tripped and fell for real.
That's entirely possible.
He's totally out. And she's like, all right, we're good. I'll just chill here, I guess.
And this is again where I was saying, like, I get, you know, you're a young girl. It's a trying experience. You presumably just killed a man who's trying to kill you. It's a lot to process. You want to, you know, chill out for a moment. This is probably not the best time for it, but maybe. Yeah.
You want to at least pick up his damn knife?
Well, here's the bigger thing. You got kids in the house, lady. Get them out. This is not cool. Like, call the police. Get them out, at least to the curb.
Stands up, grabs his knife. He's coming after her. She hides in a closet.
Yeah, she runs upstairs, hides in the closet. He just kind of comes in after her, like, whatever.
It's the closet with the blinds.
And slats.
Built-in slats in them. He's, like, karate chopping them shits apart. Like,
yeah, whatever. Weak shit.
Does a Shatner smash.
Mm-hmm. She gets a wire coat hanger, kind of forms it into a point.
This is what I don't get. Like, she stabs this motherfucker in the eye with a coat hanger. Like, first try. I'm like, how do you do that on your first try?
Second time tonight where I had to say it like a scene slightly better than in Birdemic. I don't know. She like rolled like a 20 and then like rolled a 20 to confirm her critical.
I guess.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure if you just did that to me, I don't think I'd be like, ow, but I don't think it would be a huge deal. Like he goes again. He's down for the count.
Well, no. He drops his knife at that point.
OK, that's she, right. Yeah.
She picks up his knife and stabs him in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes down. And then I'm like, OK, he's been stabbed in the chest. Nothing to this point has indicated that he's got any kind of supernatural abilities. Mm. He should be dead.
Yeah.
You would think.
I mean, all he has to be doing is wearing, like, a freaking, what them vests from like, dual welding or whatever. Just anything kind of padding so far, and it works.
But I think he's part possum, and he's learned, like, when they actually attack you, just drop to the ground and wait for them to give up. And just, like, take a moment to breathe. And then you could just rise up behind him. Because it seems to work out really well for him.
I guess so.
Which is pretty much what he does here. Because, again, Lori's showing that, like, I would not trust children with her. She says, hey, kids, go run screaming down the street to get help. I'm going to stay here for reasons.
I don't think she specified to go screaming down the street.
Just,
no.
I'm just going to chill with this corpse.
No, she tells them to go down to the street to one of their neighbors and call the police. But, like, they run out of the house screaming at the top of their lungs.
I mean, good thing, because Loomis was there to see it. So he knows this is where Mike Myers is. I have to go in this house.
Yeah.
She's like, well, those children just ran out screaming. And I'm not inside the house, so it must be Mike Myers.
So, yeah, he grabs Lori again, and she fumbles up his Shatner mask.
To reveal just some blonde or.
Well, it's like they gave him, like, a messed up, like, slothy eye or whatever. But it's like, I'd almost like you rather just not tried to deform
him. Yeah, why, though? Because he was just a total normal kid.
Well, in all fairness, he just got stabbed in his eye.
Maybe that's what's going on. Oh,
that could be.
So it made him droop?
It swelled up.
No.
Sure.
Chances are, though, it's probably more of it's a swollen eye on the 300,000 special effects budget, so it looked droopier than it.
Chances are, he probably really got stabbed in the eye. His eye was probably really, really swollen.
More of that.
That is possible.
It's entirely possible as well.
So the doctor's just like, I have the solution, and just shoots the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But she's like, that really was the boogeyman, isn't it? You can't kill the boogeyman. And he's like, yeah, that was the boogeyman. Sure enough, the lawn is empty where he went flying out this window.
The sound effect when he fell off the balcony was like a stock cartoon sound effect when Wile E. Coyote would fall off something. It was like that sound.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't preceded with a boop, 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 like one of those.
He also clearly had to climb on top of the railing, and then he fell from the top of the railing, like his feet were on it.
But yeah, his body's gone.
And that was the stunt.
They're like, oh.
I think Jamie Lee Curtis actually just fell down the stairs.
Yeah, well, was it actually her that fell down, or did it show, like, from a camera view, falling down the stairs?
Because it only showed her feet go up in the air. Did nothing after that.
Yeah, right. She probably just fell onto a mat.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone actually fell down something.
She just freaked out for real and fell over the railing, and they were like, all right, well.
Yeah, might as well leave it in. That.
Yeah. Celebrate with a dick.
All right. And then we get a black screen. We get some heavy breathing. We get the credits.
Yep. And so that's it. That's Halloween from 1978. So on RottenTomatoes.com, our critics gave this a score of 93%. Audience gave this a score of 89%. That's their personal thoughts on this movie. What are your thoughts and possible recommendations on this? Joe.
Okay, so when I was watching this, I had to continuously remind myself that this was the one that came first, and this is the one that kind of, you know, helped springboard the genre, and it's a very important movie, because I was like, this is boring as hell. So I equated it a lot to, like, how I think of Superman, where he was, like, the first superhero, and he started the genre and all that, but he's boring as hell, and I don't care about him. And I would rather, you know, find out about other superheroes. That's kind of how I feel here. I can see, though, why this movie was, like, so highly regarded. And I think at the time, this would have been revolutionary and groundbreaking. And I could see why so many critics and fans like it. But it's definitely one of those movies that I think you need to leave it where it is in your nostalgia and don't go back to it. If you've seen it a while ago, just remember it as, like, that cool movie you saw a while ago. And if you've never seen it, don't bother. I mean, obviously, like, Friday the 13th was just this movie, but better in every way. And it almost looked like, I forgot who directed Friday the 13th.
No one.
Well, whoever that guy was just like, saw this movie. It was like, I can do that better than did. It had better music than Friday the 13th. That was the only thing.
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback off of that a little. I kind of would half-heartedly recommend this, just because, like, I think if you have a nostalgic love for this, you probably can go back and watch it and it'll be all right. But if you're newcomers, you kind of can't. And it is one of those weird scenarios where, like, I would like to see it remade by John Carpenter, which I guess he is doing a new Halloween movie with Jamie Lee Curtis, and supposedly it's going to take place, I think, at least after the second one or something like to that effect. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's kind of a, I would like to see, you know, I appreciate it enough for what it is, but it is very much a product of its time, which a lot of that doesn't hold up. It is very slow paced and yeah, just kind of dull. But it is the first, so I give it a bit of a pass. All right, Brian.
So I see now why this was my least favorite of the franchise making movies, whatever for the genre. Like the best parts about this movie to me were the memes made from the still images, because there are some images that like are pretty terrifying. Like with him, his stalking stuff is pretty scary. The problem is they last too long. It's not like an image you see. It's like it lasts for, you know, 10 beats, 15 beats. It's like, it's too long. You lose your suspense after like two or three beats. The best one is the reveal when she sees the tombstone over her friend's body and Mike Myers is behind her. That first image where his head is right there, like, that's terrifying.
Comes out of the shadows.
Out of the shadows. Like, oh, that's yeah. Terrifying. Absolutely. Like, and then, like, that is like, oh, shit. Like, that's was my first holy shit moment, like, in the movie. But it's quickly gone when he tries to cut her arm and just cuts her blouse. Like, it's just immediately the movement is lost.
Chancho, do you remember that time when I got so excited? I tore my blouse.
But, like... Yeah, so I really can't recommend this movie. Like, I understand people who love it or who have loved it in the past or who as kids saw and it terrified them, because as a kid you're probably not paying that much attention to all the dead space in between. You're probably like have a toy on you or something like that, or trying to find something to eat or whatever. But yeah, like now watching it, like with having some other examples of better stuff, like I couldn't say watch it. Like, just Google Halloween memes, Mike Myers memes. And like that's it. I'm sorry.
If you Google Mike Meyer memes, I imagine you're gonna end yeah, up in a whole baby. World.
It's how you yeah. spell it. It's how you spell it.
All right, Rob.
So at the beginning of this, I said that I thought, like, my memory was that the Halloween franchise is like the scarier and like more realistic of the three big like horror franchises, and that was totally debunked. Watching this, because Mike Myers to me in this movie, aside from that one scene that Brian mentioned, and it only lasted for a second before he ruined it, he was not scary. Like, he's not scary. He's just this big doofus, heavy breathing in broad daylight, wearing this dumb mask. And I'm like, anybody could just walk up and be like, hey, you're a creeper. Stop. Cut it out. The deaths were ridiculous. And not even like over the top bloody like Friday the 13th tends to be, or, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. They were just poorly done, and the acting was just atrocious for the most part, and just it went on way too long. There was so much talking, so much exposition about nothing. This movie was just boring to me, like really, really boring. So I'm definitely not going to recommend it. And, you know, we can't even be like, well, you know, it was the first to come out, so it was a revolution. The first Alien movie came out the year after this. So they were, and probably took a lot longer to film. So these two movies were probably filming at the same time. And Alien was like so far and away better on every single level than this. And just like, I just can't possibly recommend this.
I think that's kind of, you know, apples and oranges, but
yeah I think so too.
I think the problem is, you said like you always thought of this as the more realistic horror movie or whatever, and I think the problem is it is, so it's a lot of boring, just a guy stalking people and killing them in uninteresting ways, because that's probably what real life would be.
But no, the boring was the fact that there's so much time in between stuff happening. You can have it be realistic and still have a
you
good
could,
death
but I'm
count.
Saying it the, as opposed to like a Friday the 13th where she's running around killing all these people. This is the more realistic where he spends 20 minutes stalking people. That's realistic. It's
but you don't need to show that.
Yeah,
though.
Oh, yeah. You need to show that in a movie. Yeah. Like, I think that's what he's getting at. Like,
John Carpenter in general with me has way more misses than hits. I found Big Trouble in Little China entertaining, and I loved The Thing. I think, to me, The Thing, I think, is his best film.
Yeah, definitely.
And way better on every level than this. Like,
yeah,
way more interesting visually, way more interesting pacing-wise. But for the most part, I'm not a big fan of John Carpenter.
You like They Live.
It was interesting. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was silly. But, like, I don't know that it's one thing. I don't know that They Live is a movie I would go back and watch over and over. Like, it's one of those things, like, I watch once in a while and be like, ah, yeah, that's funny. But, like, for the most part, his movies are, like, a little too much.
Well, yeah, they're definitely, with me, they're definitely yeses and nos where, like, it's like, I'll watch that all the time or I'll never watch
it. Right, exactly. There's no, like, middle ground with his films. And most of them fall on the other end. And this is definitely one of those.
All right. I feel like he learned from this movie what you can cut out to make some of the other movies better. Because the whole first part of this movie, he doesn't need it. So They Live, he was like, fuck that. Fuck explaining how we got to this spot. We don't need that shit.
Not only was this one of the first like slashers like this, this is one of his first movies as well. Yeah. If not the first.
The thing is, like, I like the concept and the idea of Mike Myers more so than necessarily like Jason or Freddy. But I just think Jason and Freddy are done better.
All right. So since most of us have not recommended this, what would we recommend as an alternative to watch this spooky Halloween? The Thing.
If you're going for John Carpenter.
Keeping it safe. Or Alien.
I mean, judging of all the franchises we watched, just their first movie, I would have to say the only one that really impressed me was Friday the 13th. Yeah. And I would say it's this movie. It's just better.
All right.
Yeah.
October. All right, so what else do we have for the people here, Brian?
So this concludes our October month. And we go into our 100th episode.
Holy crap. 100 episodes. We've been doing this so long.
Yeah,
we're just about done.
And to celebrate our 100th episode, we decided to watch an amazing movie. Aliens.
No, that's random die roll bullshit.
Yeah, no, we picked the great one. Aliens.
Dude, the D20 is gonna be so mad when we come back to it.
Come January, it'll be
all ones,
four ones all again. Like it was this year. Four ones in January.
I don't know if you pay attention to the box office, but usually you get a bunch of ones in it.
It's like, it's going to be crappy movies out. I'm going to kill a bunch of celebrities.
Oh, God. Does our D20 have that power?
It turns into that thing from the Phantasm that bores into your skull.
I mean, it's the size of a freaking baseball, so. That's true. But yeah, well, 100th episode, we'll have some announcements to make during that episode, so stay tuned.
Chill.
All right, what else do we have for the people now, Rob?
Well, guys, that was it for October. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at 4AM Podcast. If you want to contact us by email, you can reach us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so until then, we'll see you next time with our grand 100th episode with Aliens. Until then,
deuces.
Later.
Adios.
I can't do the Thriller dance. I will literally die.
I picture you'd shit yourself until you die.
That's probably, yeah.